Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Proverbs 29:18, the Bible says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you please minister through my life? Would you unlock the truths of your word? And would you minister to us, Father? Would you help us to see as you see? Would you allow us to tap into the vision that you have for us individually and collectively? I'm asking, God, that you would open our eyes and remove any blind spots that may be hindering us from moving forward. I pray for an atmosphere of growth, a spirit of expectation, and I come against every demonic tactic and every snare of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Distraction, you have to leave. Discouragement, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command depression to leave right now. Anxiety, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring the peace that transcends all understanding. Minister to our hearts. Father, we love you. We dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Well, this morning I'm grateful, and I was preparing for this message. How many know that before you preach a message, God ministers to the messenger, amen? And God has just been ministering to me, and I have been feeling grateful. I've been reminded of my purpose, and I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for my salvation. I'm grateful that God pulled me out of the muck and mire, amen, and that God gave me an opportunity to do what he created me to do, amen. How many know God created you for something special, right? The Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, and I want to talk to you about living with the sense of purpose, and I want to talk to you about this because I believe a sense of purpose is something that is greatly lacking in the lives of the people in this day and in this age. Today there are people that live life without a sense of belonging, a sense of destiny, or even a sense of purpose. Now, they say that many will live life seeking out their purpose and they will never find it. Others will fail to pursue it because they do not believe they were created for it. And we're living in a time where people of all ages, they're searching for meaning. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 gives us a good glimpse of what the world looks like today. Let me read this to you, and it's packed with insight. And I want to use this to spring into what I want to talk to you about this morning. Listen to what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now that's heavy. The Bible says that the God of this age, now that phrase, the God of this age, what it is speaking about, it's speaking about Satan's major influence on this world. How many know that there is a God and there is an adversary? Are you hearing me? Right, the warfare that we're up against is not against flesh and blood, but the Bible tells us against the rulers and principalities of the dark world. So when the Bible says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light, what that phrase is speaking about is Satan's influence over people's opinions, views, philosophy, and even their hopes. It's heavy stuff, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 2 calls him a different name. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 says that Satan is the prince of the air. And what's interesting about the prince of the air and the god of this age is that both of these people that's describing Satan is describing someone who has influence over the world. Now what you have to understand about Satan is although he has influence on this earth, he does not have complete authority. According to the Bible, he influences unbelievers, and because we believe and confess Jesus with our mouth, we're not bound to sin or his control. Are you hearing me? And it's interesting because the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light. Now, this presents a huge problem that needs a solution. There are people that are literally walking around deceived, thinking that life is good and fair, only to realize at the end of their life, there is this place called hell. Now, I'm not here to preach gloom and doom, but I'm here to tell you of some realities. And I think one of Satan's greatest tricks is that he gets us to believe that hell, it doesn't exist. He gets us to forget that you and I are fighting for our life literally. We are fighting to fulfill the will of God, but to one day live in heaven with the Lord. Are you hearing me? People are walking around blinded by false truths, false realities, and false pursuits. We who live in this day, listen to me, church. We who live in this day, in this age, we have been charged with the task of speaking life and hope into those that are lost and blinded by this world. We are living in a time where people are blinded by the pursuits of money, material things, power, and pleasure. And the lack of vision is a huge reason people are running in circles chasing what's known as the all-American dream. Are you hearing me, church? I think the greatest problem today is that churches need to wake up. Are you hearing me? There is a spirit called apathy. And what the spirit of apathy does, it gives us a nonchalant view of God and even what he's doing. And we have to be careful that as a church, that when God is moving, we're not so insensitive or so detached from the spirit of God that when God wants to do something great, we're like, that's cool. Are you hearing me? For example, there's a possibility we're getting a new building. Oh, that's cool. Spirit of apathy. Are you hearing me? Right? Oh, God healed my father. Oh, man, that's great. I knew that was going to happen at some point. Are you hearing me? Man, I got a new job. Right? I own my own company. Oh, that's great. Are you hearing me? We as a church need to keep our focus and remember why we exist. We exist to reach the unchurched. We exist to preach the glory of God. We exist to give life back to the broken. We exist to heal the brokenhearted. We exist to help restore marriages. We exist to pull the youth out of the muck and mire. We exist to help set the drug addict free. We exist to help families excel in life. Are you hearing me? And we do it through the power of Jesus Christ. See, this morning I want to speak to you about the importance of pursuing God's vision for your life. Because the Bible tells us where there is no vision, people perish. I love the New King James Version. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, when you look at this word revelation, the point that it's making is this, that without revelation, without vision, without divine direction, people will cast off restraint. In other words, they will run wild and do what they want to do because they have no direction. Are you hearing me? Unrestrained behavior eventually leads to destruction. People who have no vision, have no goals or purpose, have nothing to shoot for. Is this making sense to anybody? Work with me. Am I going too fast? Am I coming too hard? Do I got to back up? Talk to me. Somebody say something. All right. Today there are a lot of people who live life aimless. And as Christians, listen, we're not called to run on a spiritual treadmill. Going nowhere. We're not called to be busybodies. We're not called to show up every Sunday and every Wednesday just to fulfill our duty. No, we are called to advance the kingdom of God. We who believe, listen to me, we must learn to set goals, set targets, and stick with them. Now, I say that because it's easy to set a goal, but it's something else to set a goal and stick to it, right? We have to be like the Apostle Paul and the principle that he teaches us in Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 14. Listen to what he says. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and straining towards what lies ahead. He goes on to say in verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, like the Apostle Paul, we need to have vision for our lives. We need to have some sort of direction, something we are shooting for. Are you hearing me? Because if you don't know where, if we don't have vision, if we don't have goals, if we do not have vision, listen to me, church. If you don't have something to shoot for, any road will take you to where you're trying to go. But when you have a goal, you can't just walk down any path. You know, I was looking this morning, and, I just got a new phone. My phone had been broken, and it has an interesting feature. I was setting up the phone, and it says, you know, on part of the setup, do not disturb while I'm driving. So I set that up at Best Buy. Because, come on somebody, how many have the bad issue of looking at your phone while you're driving? No, come on, this is church. And I said to myself, man, I got to stop looking at my phone when I drive. I got to stop texting. Come on somebody. Don't look at me like, come on. So I thought to myself, that's a cool feature, right? So today, on my way to church, I went to pull out my phone, and when I tried to turn it on, it said, do not disturb, you will not get any notifications until you reach your destination. Now, I thought to myself, I was like, man, that's a good feature. But then I just started thinking spiritually. I think that some of us need this type of a system within our lives. We might need to turn some things off because we need to focus and remove all the distractions. We got to stop being disturbed by all the outside noise until we get to our destination. Because I just think that maybe, just maybe, there are some people we might be distracted, and because we're focused on all these other things, we missed the right turn God intended for us, and somehow we ended up way in left field, and we're like, why is my life on this side? What in the world is happening? The problem was maybe, just maybe, we were a little distracted, and we took the wrong turn. See, when you don't have vision for your life and you don't have clear focus, what'll end up happening is eventually you'll end up somewhere you don't want to be or somewhere you never intended to be. Are you hearing me this morning? You know, though Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Everyone likes to focus on the first part of the scripture. But if I were to ask everybody, what does the second part of the scripture say? Many people may not know. Let me read it to you, because the second part of that scripture gives us great insight. Listen to what it says. It says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the man who keeps the law. See, this gives us great insight, because what it's basically saying when it's speaking of the law, it's speaking of God's word. When we focus on the word of God, listen, the word will provide us with vision and guidance for living. Are you hearing me? When we read our Bibles, when we learn to communicate with God through a devotional life, God will speak through his word and give us direction for life. Listen, God has a plan for you, but the details of that plan are going to be found in the Bible. God created you to do something specific. When he created you with intent. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. There is a reason why you exist, but the reason and the plan that he has for you is going to be found in his word. Which we should make the word of God our top priority. Are you hearing me this morning? You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Deuteronomy 29:29. And when I was growing in my walk with God, I'm still growing, this scripture really ministered to my heart, especially when Joey was born, because this scripture I got around the time when my son was born. Let me read it to you, and I want to break some things down from it. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children, that we may follow all the words of his law. Now, this scripture fascinates me. Parents, listen up here. This scripture as a parent changed my life. Because the Bible is saying that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that he reveals to me belong to me. And watch this. If he reveals something to me, according to that scripture, it says he also reveals it to my children at some point. Because it's a truth and it's a revelation that has been made known to me. And according to scripture, that truth will now belong to my children. See, my kids right now only know that we go to church on Sunday, but as they grow up, there are going to be things that God ministered to my life about faith, about living, about holiness, that maybe my kids don't understand right now. But because it was a truth that was revealed to me through scripture and through fasting, through seeking, guess what? One day, just maybe, the light's going to turn off and my son's going to have a conviction about holiness because of what I did or what he revealed to me back when. Now, I want to be careful because it's not something I did, but you get what I'm saying. He reveals it to us, but the Bible says these things that he reveals to us belong to us and to our children forever so that we may follow his word. Listen, parents, we need to have a strong devotional life because over time, it's the word that will give you not only direction, but will give you faith. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And over time, when you are welled up with faith, listen, your household will eventually be shaken by the Holy Spirit's power because faith is working within you. Are you hearing me this morning? That word reveal is very interesting. Because this is what it means to make known, to disclose, or to lay at an open view. It's where we get the word revelation, which means to uncover or to display. And it depicts the idea of a veil being removed from something that was hidden. And basically what revelation means, it's God's process of making his ways and himself known to us. God wants to make himself known to you through revelation, but you got to seek him. Are you hearing me this morning? Mark 7:7-8 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So in reference to vision, listen, we have to start asking and living so intentional. God, what do you want me to do next? Are you hearing me? Because sometimes we live through life, man, and there's curveballs, right? There are things that are thrown our way, and we weren't prepared for those things. And it's in those times that we're in struggle to progress in life. But listen, God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. The foundation of this rock will not crumble even when my life is falling apart. If I choose to stand on this foundation, no matter what the hell brings my way, no matter what the devil throws my way, nothing will hold me down. Nothing. I might fall, I might stumble, but because I'm planted on the rock, according to the Bible, he said the winds will come. He said the waves will come. But because the man that chooses to do what the word says and build his house on the rock, listen to me, he will not be shaken. See, vision is a mental picture of what could be, driven by the conviction of what should be. Vision is a mental picture of what could be, driven by the conviction of what should be. And when God gives a man a godly vision, it will usually be in contrast to the world. If your vision enhances the world, how many know that that vision isn't from God? For example, somebody in here might have a burden to reach the youth of our city, then God is going to begin to put things inside of you that is in contrast to what you see the youth doing in our city. There are some of you, you have a passion for business, and you don't like some of the bad practices that you see, maybe the lack of integrity. God might be putting a vision in your heart to operate a specific way. And if you follow his plan, one day you're going to have a successful company. And when you're finally advancing, when you're finally succeeding, people from the world are going to look at, wow, what did you do to build your business? And you're going to smile and say, well, it was a few years ago, I gave my life to God, I put those principles into practice, and what you see today is not me making money, it's me shining for his glory. See, we got to change the way that we think. Some of you got a passion for education, then it's time to start studying and creating so that you can teach somebody else. Some of you got a passion to connect people. Listen, it's time to start connecting. Maybe you got to join the usher team. Maybe you got to become a greeter. Maybe your heart burdens when you see somebody depressed. Just maybe you might be the one to start the prayer intercession group because you have a burden to stand in the gap for people that are broken. Oh, you're not hearing me this morning. See, some of you are probably looking at, well, man, Pastor's crazy. Didn't know I just got passion. I have passion to come against the dark. Listen, the enemy done tried to ravage my life way too long. And you know what song I was singing this morning? I kid you not, I was going through it this morning. I called Brother Ever. I said, hey, can you come over, bro? This ain't easy with three kids. Can you help me watch the kids for 2 hours so that I can focus? Right? It was point there, I almost got, come on, somebody, I almost cried. Come on, parents, work with me, right? That or I was going to punch a kid in his head, one of the two. I chose cry. Come on, somebody, I'm not a violent man. But I was sitting there, and you know what song started coming within me? It started welling in my spirit because I started feeling sad. I started feeling the struggle, and I started singing that song. Sing it with me if you know it. If you don't know it, listen, you will learn it. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Well, I took back what he stole from me, and I took back, and I got up, and I started. Well, I went to the enemy. Come on, so. And I took back. See, some of you got to get righteously indignated to where you start thinking about what you lost and say, I'm putting my foot down. I'm going to go back. I'm going to take what he stole from me. He may have stolen my dignity, but I am a new creation. I'm a new man. I'm a new woman. I'm going to get my dignity back. My hope was left back there 2 years ago, but I'm on the mission to get my hope back, my calling, my dream to pastor, my dream to go to another country, my dream to have a men's home, a children's home, my dream to have a youth center died back there. But today, something is revving up, and I'm going back, and I'm going to take it. Are we being arrogant? No. The Bible says that greater was in me than he that is in the world. And the world is trying to blind me from my purpose, but I refuse to fall victim. Are you hearing me? We can't live based off what we see, because godly visions, the mental picture of what could be, will not only advance your life, but it will advance people's lives around you. Are you hearing me this morning? Man, as a pastor, if I went by what I see, I would have quit a long time ago. Right? But how many know, I'm not looking at what I see today. I'm looking at what I see into the future. Are you hearing me? I look at some of your children, man, I get excited. Oh, you're not hearing me. Let me just say this. When we seek God, and when we align our priorities with God's, listen to me, that's the key. When we seek the Lord and we align our priorities with God, God will impart vision and fresh perspective into our lives. See, the problem is sometimes we love God. It's not a love problem, it's a priority problem. Are you hearing me? We know we love God. The question is he your priority? Like in marriage, I love my wife. But there are seasons she hasn't been my priority. And that's a recipe for disaster. right? There's been times I know she loves me, but I haven't been her priority. I'm saying, hey, hold on. I'm here. Come on, husbands, wives, work with me. Huh? It's the same thing with the Lord. He knows you love him, but he's wondering, when are you going to make me a priority? I have something great for your life, but it's going to cost you realigning some of the things that you've gotten comfortable with. See, when we align our priorities to God, he will allow us, listen to me, to see endless possibilities. When we seek and align our priorities with God, we begin to look at the world, what the world calls impossible, we begin to start seeing it as possible. Are you hearing me? Luke 18:27 says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. When we seek God through prayer and his word, God will allow us to see the things that have not yet come. And this is what gives us the confidence to speak the things out that are not as though they are. You know that the prophecy, the end prophecy, has yet to be fulfilled, right? He says that when my people, right, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek me, right, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. The Bible says that young men and young, they're going to prophesy. Right? People will dream dreams. Where are the prophets? Where are the nowadays prophets of this age that have enough confidence to speak forth the truth of God's word? Because God is looking for men and women to step into their calling. If God has given you the gift of prophecy, listen, it is your responsibility to speak forth truth when he reveals it to you. It's not meant for you to keep as a hidden gem. But I believe that in the last days, we're going to see modern-day prophets rise. People will speak forth. And listen, prophecy isn't always, this is what's going to happen, and I see seven moons and seven stars, and then this is going to happen. That's not prophecy. Prophecy can be speaking against what is wrong. Are you hearing me? You read the Old Testament prophets, the majority of what they did, they would confront the kings and they would confront people of authority with truth. Now, I'm going to say this with caution because the last thing I need is for a bunch of prophets running around coming to correct me for everything that I do. Come on, somebody. You got to be spirit-led and you got to know that the word is from the Lord. Let me just throw this out there for those of you that may have that gift, because you might be wondering, well, what should I do when God shows something to me? The first thing you have to do is you got to pray. But there's two things that when God shows you something about someone else or about the future, one or two things you're supposed to do. Either you're called to be a part of the solution or God's calling you to pray. But not everything he shows you is supposed to be a prophecy spoken for the world to know. God may reveal something to you about me. It's not your responsibility to go tell the world. It might be your responsibility to come deal with me or to pray for me. But your responsibility and where the accountability falls on your head as a prophet is your ability to handle correctly and with accuracy the word God has given to you. Because what I found with modern day prophets today is sometimes they miss that piece of authority and they think they are the authority. That's not how it works. God set order in place and we need to follow the order of his word. Seeking God is important because if you're driven, listen to me, and this is important. Seeking God is important because if you're driven, zealous, or if you're a tenacious person, it is very easy to chase after a carnal vision. And there is a difference between a carnal vision or a worldly vision versus a godly vision. See, carnal visions are birthed in the natural and they're good ideas. Are you following me? But godly visions are supernatural and they're God ideas. See, good ideas will bring limited results, but God ideas will bring lasting results. I get a bunch of people all the time. I've even had people mad at me. They come with me. Well, you know what you need to do, Pastor? In order to grow your church, this is what you need to do. Trust me, it's going to work. You need to do this. And then I'm like, okay, great. Yeah, this, we talk. And I don't just discard people's suggestions. But I will ask, did you pray? I've had people come to me and say, this is what you have to do. The Lord showed me, blah, blah, blah. And this is what you have to do. And this is what's going to grow your church. And I didn't end up doing what they wanted to. But guess what? They got mad at me and eventually even left the church. But this was the problem. When I dug deeper, they didn't pray about what they felt God had showed them. Therefore, I immediately knew that this was a good idea, not a God idea. See, what I don't need is good ideas. I need God ideas. What we don't need right now is a good... Listen, when you're handling someone's life that is falling apart, what they don't need is a hunch, something that you ate last night. They don't need something that you think. What they need is the word of God, and they need you to speak truth and a God idea. Are you hearing me? We got to be careful that we're not always just throwing out hope like stale bread. Come on, somebody. We just throw out suggestions. Well, you know what I think you should do? This is what I think you should do. No, God is calling us to handle people's problems with passion. Compassion that will hit our hearts and drive us to prayer and drive us to fight for the one that doesn't have enough strength to fight for themselves. See, listen, church, for us to fulfill the call of God on this church, it's going to take everybody seeking God to find where they fit into the overall vision. It's going to take spirit-filled people who seek after God and that have the gift to envision other people. Are you hearing me? Envisioning is part of our mission statement. It's that one of the things, the reason why Victory Outreach International, it says we inspire people to fulfill their full potential in life with a sense of dignity, belonging, and destiny. Envisioning is one of our foundational stones. We need to learn to envision people for what could be. But we need to be spirit-filled. Some of you know my story. I was a broken young man. I was 18 when I came into the church. I was broken. I had already moved out when I was 14. I had already been out on my own, and I was lost. But there was a guy by the name of Keith Conti. I still remember him. He poured into my life. This man not only impacted my life, he impacted my brother's life. And you know what he told me? I remember I walked in. I was all disgruntled. And he said, hey, what's up, man? He made it a priority to come talk to a disgruntled young man he had never seen before. And he just tried to befriend me. But I'll never forget what he told me. He said, hey, man, I can't help but tell you that God has a calling on your life, and whether you believe it or not, you're called to preach the gospel. Now, during that season of my life, the last thing I needed to be doing was telling anybody anything about the Lord. But I remember walking away from that conversation, and I thought to myself, man, could I really help people? Thank God he spoke it into existence. Thank God he triggered something within me. See, I had been blinded by the world from what I was called to do. But at 19, a man spoke a word into my life that started to birth something within my spirit. Now when I went to church, I started noticing how the preacher spoke. Now I started noticing his intro. I started reading my Bible. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I started jotting notes down. I started taking analogies. Little did I know that God would eventually call me to do what this man envisioned for my life. Another thing that he did was we didn't have a piano player. And some of you met my brother. He's a worship leader. The same man had the gift of envisioning. He looked at my brother and said, you know what? We don't have a piano player, but you're going to be our next piano player. My brother had never touched a piano in his life. He said, what? I've never played anything in my life. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to teach you. So this man came to my house 2 times a week and spent 2 hours with my brother each week. And he taught him the piano. Today, my brother is a worship minister who not only impacts his church, but helps other churches build worship teams. What happened? There was a man that was full of the Spirit that seen 2 broken young men, and he spoke life into a dead situation. Listen, ladies, we need you to rise up. We need you to envision the ladies that you see out there. We need you men to rise up and envision the people that you see at the grocery store, the people you see walking by. We got to get to a place where we're confident enough that we can speak life into someone's dying situation. But it's going to take spirit-filled people who seek God and the vision that not only God has for their life, but for the church. Because we want to, you know, my priority, you know what my top priority is? I want to make sure that I bring glory to God. But I want to bring as many souls to heaven as we can. I want to lead as many people through this church. We want to lead as many people as we can to the Lord. But let me tell you what my passion is. My passion is to see you fulfill the plan of God for your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter. There is still a lot of work to be done. I was broken at 19 on the verge of suicide. But listen, I walked into a church and someone envisioned me. They took care of me. They prayed for me. And they took interest in me. Are you hearing me? Moving forward. So God has a vision for our life. How do we know that the vision that we have is from God? Well, there's a few things. There's a few things that will help you understand if your vision is from God. I want to give them to you real quick. Number one, a godly vision will be cultivated in prayer. If God gives you a vision and you're not sure, you got to cultivate that vision in prayer. And it's in prayer where you will learn this is from God or it's not from God. Number two, a vision from God will always stand in contrast to the world as it is. In other words, a godly vision will often start with a concern for people and the inability to accept things as they are. In a few weeks, I'm going to start a new sermon series on the life of Nehemiah, but this is a perfect example of a godly vision. The Bible says he heard what was happening in his city and that the walls had been broken down, and there was a passion that welled up inside of him. And then he went into prayer, and it was in prayer where God gave him a burden for the people, and eventually it was also in prayer that God gave him a plan on how to help that city. So number one, godly visions will be cultivated in prayer. Number two, a vision from God will always stand in contrast to the world as it is. In other words, God wants to change this world, not conform to this world, right? Number three, a godly vision will be in alignment with the vision of the house. Now, what I mean by that is this, is that, you know, according to Scripture, we are called to be communities. Yes, we have a number of churches with the body of Christ, but if God calls you to a church, if you are a member of a church, what will happen is your vision will be in alignment with the vision of the house. God is a God of order, and he will not bring confusion to the vision of the church. Our visions add and align, and it should all go towards the same purpose. That's not to say that God won't raise somebody else up to do something else, but that is to say, and this point is meant to battle confusion, because confusion is from the enemy and not from God. Number four, a godly vision will always be in alignment with the heartbeat of God. A godly vision will always be in alignment with the heartbeat of God. You know what my prayer was this week? I went back to the old ways. I remember one of my leaders told me this. And Brother Eric, you can come to the piano, please. He said, Eric, you have to pray that the things that break God's heart would break your heart. And I remember I was like, wow. I was like, what do you mean? He said, try it. You know, this week I went back there and I was praying, God, will you allow the things that break your heart to break my heart? And I've been praying that prayer all week. And suddenly there are certain things that are arising within me that I don't like that I see in the street. And let me just throw this out there. I'm going to be building an evangelism team. Now, evangelism is not just a side ministry. It's a way of life. But I have been burdened with what I've been seeing in my city. I'm burdened when I drive through Tacoma and I see young people out there that look lost. I'm burdened when I see a man asking for money on the side of the road, and he's not just there one day, but I see him there all days. Come on, somebody. God has a purpose for that man. God has a purpose for that person. It wasn't meant to stand on the corner and ask for money. I'm burdened When I see the alcoholic, I'm burdened. When I see the frazzled mom yelling at her kids at the grocery store, I'm burdened. When I see people I'm burdened. We have to have a burden for the hurting people of this city if we are going to fulfill the plan of God for our lives. Lastly, how do you know a vision is from God? Because God will give you a passion for whatever it is that He's putting in your heart. See, I might not have the biggest passion to work with or to have like a 12-step, but maybe if we get, if I believe when we get our building, what if, let me just say this, there's multiple rooms, which is beautiful. It's a huge building. But I'm already thinking, imagine if on Monday night there was a 12-step. Now, I don't have the capacity right now to do it, but maybe one of you do. Maybe God's putting it in your heart right now to start NA, because them NA meetings fill up like crazy. But what about having an NA, or we call it recovery, we can call it whatever we want, but you imagine? And we minister to those people. Imagine we have our own youth ministry. And I'll end here. The Lord was ministering to my heart, and He was showing me that there's three types of people within our church. Number one, there are people in the church that you lack vision for your life. God wants you to know this morning that He created you with intent and He has a plan for your life. You don't have to live aimlessly. You don't have to live wandering. God has something special for you. The second type of person He was showing me that we have within our church, there are some who at one time had a passionate vision to do great things for God. But somewhere along the way, you got frustrated and you allowed your hope to die. And that vision is gone. To you, I would say, Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits for an appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. For you, you need to write what God had spoken to you years ago. And you're going to see that God will well a passion within you to fulfill the vision He put for your life. And thirdly, the third person He showed me within our church, you're striving to fulfill your God-given vision, but you're experiencing extreme attacks from the enemy. To you, I would say, 2 Chronicles 15:7, but you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. You may have been fighting and not seeing anything. Nothing will kill your faith more than unseen results. But I need to remind you, we live by faith, not by sight. You keep pressing, you keep believing, you keep striving, because your best days are ahead of you. As we all stand this morning,